Like I mentioned, this month we are focusing in on prayer. And this morning we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, praying well. But before you turn to Matthew 6, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and starting in verse 12, Luke says that Jesus was in one of the towns, and a man with a terrible disease, probably leprosy, saw him. And when he saw him, he ran up to him, or crawled to him, or hobbled to him, and fell face down before him, begging him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And what's Jesus do? He immediately stretches out his hand and he touches the man and says, "I am willing, be made clean." And what happened? Immediately this man was wholly and completely clean from this terrible, terrible skin disease. But Jesus says, ordered him not to tell anyone. But Jesus said, instead, you need to go. I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. And I want you to offer what Moses has prescribed for you for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But word got out, doesn't it? But even more so, the people heard about Jesus. He was in the area and what he had done. Imagine that they probably couldn't even believe their eyes that this man who had a terrible, incurable disease was completely and utterly healed. And so what's to say, they gathered by the droves to hear him teach and to be healed of their diseases. But we read that a lot, don't we, in the scriptures. Whenever Jesus was in the area, he was a very popular person, wasn't he? And why not? I mean, when Jesus arrived, virtually every disease was taken away. And when Jesus taught, he didn't teach like the others. He didn't quote other rabbis, but he taught as if he had like perfect understanding of the scripture. But we know why, right? We know why he had perfect understanding. We know why that he had authority when he spoke, because he was the source of that. Because he was not just a man, but he was God. And we know this. And yet, look at verse 16. Look what it says. "And yet." Now, you know, when you say somebody's life is busy, how do we refer to it when we talk about plate? His plate is what?
Full.
Full, right? Well, I think we'd all agree Jesus' plate wasn't just full. It was probably like overflowing, right? Because everywhere he went, you know, there were times when he didn't have time to eat. There were times you read where he's being put, that there's such a frenzy and so many want his attention and get close to him that he would be pushed in the sea. Constantly, there was just, and I'm sure this, imagine the disciples physically just worn out. And yet, what's it say? "And yet, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." Jesus was a man of prayer. We read how he got up before light. We read how he prayed to his Father all night. So it's no surprise when you go through the scriptures, you see godly men and women praying. And we have the privilege of some of those prayers recorded. Some of the prayers of Jesus is recorded. But you see men in the Old Testament, men and women in the New Testament, prayer was a big part of their life. They recognized the importance. They recognized the need. They recognized the privilege of praying to God, entering into this fellowship that you only enter into through prayer, speaking to God. You know, last week, Pastor Brian talked about praying together, right?
the importance of praying together, the need of praying together, the power and the blessings that God brings praying together. Well, today, as I said earlier, we're going to talk about our own prayer life. You know, are we taking advantage of that privilege of coming to the living God, the King of Kings? Are we taking advantage? Do we value that opportunity and that privilege? Now, the only way to find out is to do what? Evaluate and see where we're at. And so I handed out an evaluation, and did I hand out the basket? Is the basket, where's the basket at? All right, could I have somebody? Yeah, okay.
This is risky, you know that. This is not without risk. So what is in this basket? What will we find? This is in no way to, we're not comparing ourselves to each other, we're going to compare ourselves to the scripture, right? And this is just to get us a feel on where we're all at as a body, okay? I'm very curious to read some of these. I'm going to analyze the handwriting too. So I'm going to need to have you write your name so I can analyze. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. Now here's my guess. My guess is that majority of you say, yes, I pray. I spend time with God. Okay. But then from that point on, we'll talk about how often and okay. And I'll just read some. Yes. It looks like 7 days a week. Yes, about 2 days. Yes, a few days a week. 7 days, 3 or 4 days, 7 days. And what I might do is this week kind of compile what average, like get an average as a church family. Where are we too? Zero, okay, 7, 2, okay, some every day, okay, 7. So the majority, I'm just going to say the majority of you say over half the time, over half the days you're praying, right? Okay, that's good. Okay, that's a start. Okay, all right. So the majority of you said yes. So the next question is this. You're praying, but how well are you praying? You see, there is a big difference. Matter of fact, there's a world of difference between doing something and doing it well. Would you agree? Would you agree that we can say we do something, but then if I said, do you do it well, that could be a different story, right? Okay, let me just demonstrate and give you an example of what I'm talking about. I have a background in building construction, okay? I have a degree in construction management. I've worked as a union carpenter, blah, blah, blah. Okay? All right. Now, let's say that, let's see, who wants to be, who do I want to call out? I call on Connie all the time. Shirley, you're too nice. No, I'm just joking. Okay, Katrina. Okay. So Katrina, she has some property and she wants to build a house. Okay? And honestly, I'm not doing anything for the next like 6 months. So Trina, I heard that you want to build a house. Now, I want to offer my services to you. I will build your house for you. Is that nice of me? Maybe. Okay, but, and that she'd be, oh, well, thank you for the offer, right? Now, but what would be a good follow-up question for Katrina to ask me?
You know what you're doing?
I just told you qualifications.
Are you sure you want references?
Oh, you want, but it's me.
I want references.
Susie.
Can I see the last house you built?
Do you know what you're doing?
Do I know what I'm doing?
Okay, so you would want references, right? You want to know. So how can I show you that I know? By what? References.
Well, guess what? I just happen to take pictures of some of my past projects. Okay, they say a picture is worth a what?
Dollar.
Right. Now, some of these are going to need some explanation. All right, so let me explain before you get all amped up. Okay, so this first one is us just working out. Sometimes we're too busy to clear our salt horses off, so we use each other. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, where's our safety glass? You're right.
One guy's got here.
I'm not where I am.
That's me.
That's my buddy. I am wearing here, but I forgot to wear my safety glasses, so. Alright, so you look great. We're not perfect.
The other guy needs a lot more glasses.
It's working every time. It works for us. Hey, don't knock it if you try it.
We can do foundation work.
We will use everything on site. Whatever you have on site, we can put to good use. And I'm right here.
Let's see if that
gets done. What's wrong with that?
Is that not resourceful? I'm thinking about the environment.
I might ask, how long has it been there?
So, see, these are good projects. All right, now, we're into the rustic look. All right?
That is a solid wall. Yeah. So, don't you worry, you little pretty stuff. All right? Okay? Now, wait a minute. This one is not my fault. I can explain that one. But I'll explain it myself. That was not my fault. That was the manufacturer's fault. Okay? That's not my fault. Okay? Now, I can do decks, and I can even enclose your deck for you, or your deck for you. So if you want an enclosed porch, I'm your man. Okay? You guys act like I'm kidding. These are real. What? Who said that? Now, again, this one's not my fault either. They didn't go in the template, so that's not my fault. But hey, you know what? You guys aren't looking at the positive. There's flowing water. Isn't that the whole goal? The whole goal is to get flowing water. Who cares where it hits? Right?
Now, if you are living in a high security area,
we are in high security. We secure. We have security fences that might fit your budget. Okay? And I know I shouldn't be promoting my construction company and church, but just in case, it's a brother helping another brother or sister, right? Right. So you get the idea that there's a world of difference between doing something and knowing how to do it right. Right. Huge. And that's why I go back to that question.
We pray 7 days a week, 31 days a month, 365 days a year. But the question is, do we pray well? Do we pray well? Well, let's find out. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at 9, but we'll probably start with 5. See, the disciples, they heard Jesus praying. They saw his habit, and they immediately sense, you know what? There's something lacking in our own prayer life. We want to pray like our master. So in Luke chapter 11, they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John has taught his disciples to pray. And so Jesus gave them what's called the Lord's, what we would call what? The Lord's Prayer, right? It's the model that Jesus has laid out. Now, the Lord's Prayer is probably one of the most popular passages in the world, next to John 3:16. Non-believers sometimes know the Lord's Prayer. I bet you know the Lord's Prayer. You want to try to recite it? Think you can? Who, raise your hand if you think you can recite as a group. That's not as many as I thought. Okay. I think I know the King James Version, I think. Our Father who art. All right. Our Father
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Everybody knows the King James Version, right?
We used to say that in the locker room before every football game. Everybody would, we would get in a tight group, hold hands, get on our knees, and non-believers and believers would recite that, which they didn't realize that they're reciting the scripture. Okay, I don't think they probably do that so much anymore this year, like they used to. So it's a very well-known passage. So let's look at that passage and see how Jesus tells us to pray well. All right, then we're going to kind of dissect this passage this morning. Again, I don't have to read it because we just recited it, right? Okay. All right, so here's what I'd like for us to do. You have on your sheet something that's similar on my sheet up here, right? And what I'd like to do, first of all, is I'd like for us to list the areas that Jesus expects us to pray about, okay? I want us to list the areas that Jesus expects us to pray about verse by verse, all right? I want it in simplest form. I don't want a long sentence. I just want you to think about in verse 9, for example. Therefore, he says you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, okay, so we know who it's addressed to. We're to address it to God the Father. Your name be honored as holy. All right. So, in short terms, what does Jesus expect us? What area or what's the category or what are we to pray right here?
I'm looking for answers.
God's glory.
God's glory. That'd be right. Okay. God's glory. We could follow with what? Honor. To magnify his name, right? God's name. Okay. God's glory, God's name. And when we say God's name, we mean what? His name be magnified. Okay. So God's glory. All right.
He's holy.
That's right. He's holy. That's right. Okay.
So that's in verse 9. Verse 10. He says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as is in heaven. So in verse 10,
what is the area that we are to pray for or about? Okay, okay. Before that, his kingdom, so God's kingdom, right? God's kingdom, and he's kind of flowing each other, okay? God's will. I heard that. Okay? God's kingdom, God's will. So far we have God's name or God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will. What about verse 11? What's he say that we should? Again, these are categories. This is not to be simply recited and say, there I've prayed. This is the areas that he wants us to generally focus on. Okay?
Verse 11,
what does he say we should pray then?
Our needs.
What's that?
Our needs.
Okay, what kind of needs? Well, okay, as far as
physical.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I got a four-letter word. It's such a... Okay, so physical needs. Okay, I don't know if you guys can see that, but you can write. Hopefully you're writing on your own. Okay.
Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we also
have forgiven our debtors. Okay, what's that?
Forgiving.
Okay. So when you're asking, you're what? You're... starts with C.
Yes.
What's that, Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, confession, right? Now we go into confession. ESS. Okay, so confession of our sins. Verse 13, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, from Satan. So what would that category be? Okay, do not bring us into temptation. So keep us from the temptation that will overwhelm us. So I'm being kept from something. We want him to do what? Starts with a P.
Protection,
right? Protections. Okay. And then the words up here, D, but what?
Deliver.
So this is basically a breakdown, according to us, of the typical categories. And each of these categories could be individual prayers, too. Okay? So God's glory, God's kingdom and will. Again, for him to be glorified to the greatest is to bring his kingdom to earth. In order to do what? In order to, so that God's will is freely and joyfully obeyed. Then we have some physical, which really could you relate to who? God, okay? Our confession could really be related, because is our confession related to his glory? How is our confession of sin related to the glory of God? We're saying we depend on him. While we are sinning, can we glorify God? No. So even our confession, now we don't want to be disciplined, okay? But our ultimate reason to confess is so that we can best glorify God. We can't glorify God if we're sinning and we're not also forgiving those who have wronged us. And of course, we're asking for his protection and his deliverance. Okay. So let's what I'd like to do is, now, let's break this down into basically two categories, all right? Really, there's only two categories that we can pray about, right? We live in two realms. What are the two realms we live in? There's a physical realm, but we're not just physical. There's also what?
Spiritual.
The spiritual realm, right? So we can say a spiritual realm relates to God also, okay? So, for everything that is spiritual, let's put an S. For everything that's physical, you can put a P or PH, okay? God's glory.
Spiritual.
Okay?
Spiritual.
God's kingdom.
Spiritual.
Spiritual for now.
Spiritual for now. Okay, right. Because ultimately, we're praying for his physical kingdom to come. But for right now, we'll say it's spiritual, although it could be because there is a physical realm also. Okay? God's will.
It's worked out in the physical realm.
Which we could all relate. It is related, but okay. What about this one? Okay. I didn't know if you were going to get that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Confession. Is it in the physical realm or spiritual realm? What does it relate to? Okay, so is confessing your sin in the physical realm or spiritual realm? Spiritual?
Spiritual communication about physical actions in some situations.
Do your sins always have to be physical actions?
No.
No.
Is there such thing as sins of the heart? That my heart is probably, there's nooks and crannies of sin that Lord should show me, right? That my body hasn't got involved yet, and hopefully never will, right?
Huh?
Ultimately, though, Jesus says, ultimately, where does sin come from? My fingers, or chop it off? Ultimately, where's the root of sin? Where?
Heart.
I just want to make sure everybody understands. Heart? So if my fist punches somebody, should I chop them? Does my hand fall?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't scold my hand? Where's the heart? Where is it? The root cause is the heart. If a man lusts, if a man, what else did he say? In the heart. Because that's where sin originates, in the heart. So confession the spiritual. Remember Paul's talking about, oh, you guys, you need to cut yourself more. You need to mutilate yourself more because, you know, by disciplining the physical body, you become more righteous and spiritual. Paul says, yeah, keep beating yourselves up, but it just actually is worse. Because it's not a hand problem, it's not an eye problem, it's not a tongue problem, it's a heart problem. Okay? So protection and deliverance ultimately is that a physical or spiritual? What did Jesus intend? That's the question.
He's talking about temptation, that's spiritual.
Okay, what did, remember, the right interpretation is what does the author intend for it to mean? Protection, deliverance from temptation. All right? So temptation is what? Shane, is temptation physical or spiritual?
Spiritual.
Spiritual, right? Okay. Spiritual. All right, let's see here. One, two, three, four, five. We actually have six. Okay? So, six. So we have six areas. Let's see, how can I do this? Six areas. We got six areas, right? All right. And 1/6 was what?
Physical.
5/6 was what?
Spiritual.
So give me a percentage of that. What's a percentage of 1/6? 16%? Okay. What's the 5/6? Can I make it simpler? Now, let's not be legalistic, okay? All right. But think about this. Look at that. 80% of Jesus' model for us to pray is specifically spiritual. And 20% is physical. Twice in this passage, Jesus says, your Father already knows what you need before you ask. Your Father, He knows, actually He knows way more than you and understands what you need more than you do. He's got that. 80% spiritual. Okay, so let me ask you this. How do our prayers compare racially? Okay? If you had to think about it, I didn't read them yet, but what's the majority, again, typical maybe, and I'm making assumptions, but the typical Christian, does their prayer life, or is it balanced like this? What would you guess the prayer life of typical Christians, the balance is?
Opposite.
I would guess the opposite. I would guess 80% is on an organ. And I don't mean... Right? 80% of the time we're spending 80% of our time maybe on physical stuff. On our liver, on our eyes, our aches, our pains, our physical situation, right? Circumstance.
Why is that? It's no mystery. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34.
Where do our prayers originate from? From what does our prayers originate from? What comes out of our mouth or is spoken in our mind? What does Jesus say? Somebody read it for me. Somebody that hasn't talked.
You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Now, I brought that because I'm not calling vipers. Okay, the point is the last portion of that passage, right? How does our overflow of what? We speak from the overflow of our heart. Because that's what's on our mind. That's what's in our... That's what we value in our heart, the physical stuff. And our prayers show it. Again, a lot of this is we all have to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves, okay? So I'm not talking hard and fast rules. I'm not saying for every 8 minutes I better spend 2 minutes, or every 10 minutes I better spend 8 minutes. I'm not saying, let's not be legalistic, okay? But I'm saying, as far as balance, we're out of balance, the exact opposite.
Okay? So, he wants us to pray kingdom-focused spiritual prayers that relate to spiritual things, that relate to his kingdom. So according to Jesus, the focus of our prayer is not only directed to God, but focus on God. Our focus and purpose of prayer has to be God. And we just said back here,
his name, his kingdom, his will needs to be the focus.
Why do we pray? What's the purpose of prayer? We have one word, God. But in our minds, it's totally different. In our minds, it's because of me. And I don't necessarily go to God. I want to glorify your name because I'm ready to move on to my own stuff. The focus and purpose of our prayer has to be God, specifically to magnify his name, anything related to advancing his kingdom and related to his will. Let me say it again. Our prayer should be consumed with its purpose, which is glorifying God's name, advancing things that advance his kingdom, and prayers that advance his will. So what dominates your personal prayers? Which side is God on? Is he on the 80 or is he on the 20%? So we must have and be occupying our prayers with kingdom-focused prayers. Kingdom focused. God, I put God focused, kingdom focused. Okay, we're talking about the same thing. They must be focused on his will, his glory. So, what qualifies as a kingdom focused prayer? Because the only thing I can think, the only thing you might think of is this: Lord, let your kingdom come. Is that it? You just have to pray for his physical kingdom. And why is it we want his kingdom to come? Maybe we should ask that question. Why is it that he and we, in return, want his kingdom to come? When we say his kingdom, what are we really talking about? What happens in his kingdom in heaven?
Obedience.
What's that?
Obedience.
Complete and free obedience to his will, which glorifies him. And of course we pray for that physical kingdom to come, because when it does, he will rule with an iron fist. There will be no stepping out of line without consequences. It will not be a time of grace, but a time of justice and holiness and complete worship. But many will worship outwardly, and inwardly will still be unbelievers. But until that happens, we are praying for his kingdom to come and exist where? In the hearts of men, right? In our hearts. His kingdom exists in your heart. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you freely and joyfully obey him, his kingdom has arrived in your heart because he's ruling your heart. Okay, so let me ask you this again. What qualifies as a kingdom-focused prayer? Because if you agree that this is the direction and purpose of his model for us, then we'd better know what it is that we are to be praying to be focused on his kingdom.
I'm looking for more. There's many examples, but just anybody. What would
qualify as a kingdom-focused prayer? Beyond, Lord, let your kingdom come. Beyond that. Nathan, do you have an idea? The answers are easier than you think. Much. I don't want to give the person an answer.
Okay, I'll say something.
Okay.
The gospel to be
be spread if people come to know Jesus.
Okay. Salvation. Now, how is salvation remotely related to his kingdom? I'll still be laughing, okay? Exactly. The advancement of his gospel populated his kingdom, okay? So the salvation of your neighbor, the salvation of anyone, yes. That's a king here, advancing the kingdom. Okay, what's another one? Did you pray that? No, I'm talking about prayer only. Yeah, what? But I'm not talking actions. I'm talking, we're talking, and you're on the right track. I'm talking in our prayer, not our actions. Our prayers, what areas, or what can we pray about that will advance his kingdom? And Val said, okay, that's pretty general. Okay, we want that, but you're right. His will to be done. Salvation, okay? Because he said, to qualify the innocent, but your will be done above all else. That's kingdom advancement. I'm sorry, yes. Okay, that's key. Lord, I really want and need this, okay? But let your will be done. Jesus said, I really don't want to do this. If there's any other way, he didn't say I didn't want to do it. He said, I didn't want to do it this way. If there's another way, let it be, all right? If there's another way, please. That's encouraging to me because, you mean, Jesus, the Son of God, struggled with God's will. Your daughter passes before you. That's a struggle with God's will.
And we have to say, it's your will.
You pray and mean those prayers. And I know Beth will admit that because they know that's where their will is. Right? Because in our will, life in this world, it always has a happiness. We know that's not reality. Reality is in a sinful, fallen world. So praying for his will, praying for salvation. And Joyce, what you were saying is just praying that we would be obedient to your word. See how there's a boatload of things that advance his kingdom and his will. I hope you continue to come this week. Okay? Because here's another, this whole list is about advancing his kingdom. Let me see if you agree. Let's pray that the Lord's will be done in this church. That's kingdom focused. For spiritual growth and prayer and discipling process, that's kingdom focused. Those who have left the church, if it's God's will, they might come back in obedience, right? If they're not gathering together with anyone else. That's kingdom focused. For boldness to share the gospel, kingdom focused. For fruit from outreach and that people are getting saved, that's kingdom focused. So, praying well. Praying for the advancement of God's name, kingdom, and will. Remembering that that God is both the focus and the purpose of our prayers. And really, this is the way it should be. Wait, let me say the way it is, and it won't close with what's on the back of your sheet, is this. Typically, prayers can be this. All about my whole situations, life, physical, blah, blah, okay? And then as I either begin, Lord, glorify your name, but here's my stuff. Oh yeah, Lord, thank you for listening, and I move on. In other words, it's about me, and then God gets the leftover. Right? Whatever time is left over, God gets, right? Well, really, it should be the opposite, right? It should be, it's all about God. It's all about his kingdom. It's all about advancing his will, his glory, his kingdom, and then whatever's left over, I'll get to me. But that takes time because a lot of times we are on our hearts and minds. Well, eventually we need to slowly break out of that mindset so that God is constantly on my mind, and then I'll get to me if there's time, whatever time I have left. So it should not be uncommon if you typically spend a half hour in prayer, again, which is not hard and fast rules, but I'm just saying is, one is, if you're caught up with God, you're going to lose track of time. That's when you know you're caught up with God and his glory. Okay? But But I should be like, oh no, okay, I only have a few more minutes. The Lord, this is on my mind for me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's where we should be. Second. Now, does that mean there's not times where you're going through a challenge or a trial that your heart is heavy and that you're praying specifically for this situation or you're facing a situation? Then it's appropriate to talk to God about this, to go to Him and talk about Him. But not losing the purpose and focus is always about God no matter what. In both the joyful times and the times that are very that we struggle, that are valleys. It has to be always about God. Because it can't just be about God when things are going good and you're pain-free and life is okay. It can't be about God then alone. But it has to always be about God. He knows your needs. Flip your page over for next week. You're going to help us out. If I focus more on God and His kingdom and my prayers, how could that change the way I see my problems? And two, think of ways that we can pray kingdom-focused prayers. And we want to share. We want this time to be a time of sharing on Sunday mornings. Because you have a lot of wisdom to give each other as well as we speak the truth to one another. So work on these. Save these. Think through these. And let's talk a little bit more about specifics on kingdom-focused prayers next week. That your prayer life never has to be dry or simple again, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to not only to come to You and to worship You in prayer and to speak what's on our hearts. And Lord, I pray that whatever we are going through, what's on our heart is magnifying You and experiencing Your strength, magnifying Your glory. Lord, we thank You that we not only can pray for ourselves, but we have the privilege of praying for one another. And Lord, we know that the prayers of the saints for brothers and sisters hold each other up. So I pray that we would be a people who pray well for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.